Guardians of the Geekery. Very special guest, Crystal Davidson of Casual Confections. I think you're really going to love her journey and her story, how she went after her dream. And I don't know, we're just so proud of her. And we love her because she brought us delicious and healthy treats. Enjoy.
Podcast room of the Geek Gala HQ. There are assembled Charlotte, North Carolina's four okayest geeks, created by the cosmic legends of their own mind. Starnslord, the Giddy Geeker, Carol the Cat, Tipples Tannenbaum. Their mission, to support local, to discuss all things geek, and to serve all fankind. They are the Guardians of the Geekery, the official podcast of the Charlotte Geeks.
We will not eat on air. We will not eat on air. We will not eat on the podcast. We will not eat on the podcast. Okay.
So we've started, evidently, Crystal. So all the things that I would normally tell you off the air, like, you know.
Just roll with it.
Just roll with it.
Sounds good to me.
Talk into the mic, not away from the mic.
No heavy breathing.
All right. So welcome to Guardians of the Geekery. We have a very special guest here, and it's mostly because she brought food, but also because we've been friends for as long as I've been friends with Matt.
Yeah.
Like, we literally met in line at a Marvel advanced screening. Do you remember that? Like, that's when we met in person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What movie?
It was the one over on South Park, and I think it was the first Avengers.
I think it was the first Avengers movie. And we lent you guys our rewards card to get free popcorn.
Yes. Because you guys,
good
see,
times.
It was all good times. And it was also, like, the first photo of Carol and Matt together, and she's like, don't post that anywhere.
I hate photos. I hate all photos of myself.
Yes, this is true.
Perhaps we should introduce our guest.
I did say her name was Crystal Davidson, but I didn't finish introducing her. So Crystal and I have been friends for a number of years, along with all several of us on the podcast, but also you are the proprietor, I'm trying to think of the proper word, blogger and now proprietor of Casual Confections, which is a amazing, amazing company that donated some cakes to last year's Geek Gala. So if you saw some of the Amazeball cakes at last year's Geek Gala and got to try them, I did not. They were gone by the time I was able to pull myself away.
Same here.
But I heard all about them, bastards.
I think I got a tentacle of the Sarlacc pit. I think that's what
I got. So that was such a
So let's tell. So first of all, you brought food.
I did.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Food bribery is always good.
And we will talk about the food momentarily as my saliva glands start to settle down from the excitement. But tell us a little bit about how you got started blogging Casual Confections, and then kind of the progression.
Sure. Yeah, it's been the past, I'd say, 4 years. It actually started because I was baking as a hobby anyway, and people kept hitting me up on Facebook. I'd post, hey, look, I baked this today, and be like, oh, what's the recipe? So instead of reposting it 4 or 5 times, I started a blog and just said, hey, just go here and see what I do. And at first it was just kind of casual, just, you know, when I bake something. Yeah. And then, you know, talking with my husband, talking with some family, they're like, well, why don't you do it, you know, a challenge and do it, you know, every so often. And that started the downward slope. I started doing, you know, trying to do two bakes a month. And what I would do is I would take different bakes. I'd go and find a website, a recipe that looked interesting. And usually it would be something I hadn't done before. So whether it was using fruit, whether it was making a bundt cake or something, it was always supposed to be something new to challenge myself. And I started with somebody else's recipe because I knew it would work. Or it was a better chance it would work. Let's say not all of them worked. but, you know, trial and error. And from there, I quickly increased my skill level. Like, I went from, okay, so I've made 12 cupcakes with different flavors. That's great. And then somebody showed me the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah.
And I watched an episode and I was like, you know, I've always wanted to make a Swiss roll cake. talked myself out of it for about 2 months because, you know, anxiety's a bitch, and finally sucked it up
so
and
did Swiss
it.
So rolls to make. Yes.
I found, actually, it was surprisingly easy for me.
Really?
I ended up nailing it on the first try, surprise, ooh, surprise, and I've made at least 4 different combinations with different buttercreams, different flavors, including a matcha green tea with honey buttercream, which is one, ooh, of my favorites that I've done so far.
Ooh.
But yeah, since then it was like, okay, what else can they throw at me? Let's up the challenge level. Since then I've done like a mirror glaze. I've done, as was mentioned, some of the cakes for Geek Gala. So I've done a Sarlacc pit bunt cake, which is my favorite. And you will see all over my Facebook page and my Instagram.
Pictures. Yes, they are awesome.
Oh, yeah. When you asked me to do it, I was like, okay, I got to come up with a theme. But what geek theme? And I was like, okay, bunts are quick to make. Okay, now I'm going to make 4 cakes. So I'm going to do a bunt cake. Okay, what can I do for 4 bunt cakes? So we did 2 portal cakes. So one blue, one mm-hmm. orange. Each was a different flavor. And we had a little sugar cookie guy. Half of them going in, half of them coming out. And then we had a galaxy mirror glaze on the other, on the
fourth
cake.
Very cool as well.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That mirror glaze has been a very hit and miss for me. Real success on the first try, total flop on the second, and just kind of manipulating things from there. And it's silly things like the bowls, you know, don't use the metal bowls, use plastic bowls, because the metal is going to retain the heat, and it's going to take forever for the glaze to cool down. So I mean, even though I would succeed at doing something, sometimes it wouldn't the next time around, but I always try and experiment with it, because, you know, after you try something someone else has done, you want to try and figure out how to make it on your own, how to tweak it. And after I got bit by the challenge bug of making 4 bunts for the Geek Gala, I was like, oh, that was such a rush. I'm going to do more of this. And then I was asked to make 2 donations for the Yule Ball over at Cavendish Brewery.
Yes, I find all the good people and all the other people, steal them, and then I see them at every event. I'm like, I found them first.
Yes, well,
it's all good.
You gave me the bug, so that's the good thing. You get all honors for that. So the good thing is the Yule Ball helps raise money for the Harry Potter Alliance. So this is another geek theme I couldn't resist. So I made Butterbeer Fudge, which was a huge success.
Ooh.
And I also made what I call a Dementor salve cake. So it's devil's food cake with chocolate hazelnut buttercream and hazelnuts throughout and a chocolate ganache. And so it's the Dementor salve because chocolate makes you feel better, makes you happy. And so that's what would heal you, would make you all better. Mm-hmm. So after doing all that, I kind of slowed down back to my regular baking, and I was just kind of, this is kind of boring. You know, I need to do more, but we can only eat so much in our house. No one's coming over to help take more because I just ate some. And I actually started talking with a career coach, oddly enough, in March, because a lot of things were changing in my company, in my day job, and I was having problems getting my head around it, and so I was kind of in a place. And so I started talking to her about stuff, and she kept coming back to the baking, because I was like, oh, you know, this is what I do as a hobby, and it's a lot of fun. And she goes, what if you made that a business, like your side hustle? And what if we plan by the end of the year that you have some capital that you can put into getting into a commercial kitchen? And I'm like, that sounds like a pipe dream. That'd be fantastic. By the end of our meeting, we actually had plotted out step for step what we could do in a year.
Wow.
In 3 weeks, I blew through all those goals.
Wow.
So
I guess your passion was pushing you going, yes, let me out.
Passion and again, anxiety, man. You know, I've gotten to a point in my life where I can either let my anxiety kind of like lock me down for weeks, months, years, and I've got tired of it. So now anytime I'm like anxious about something, like I just posted some of my first advertisements in Facebook groups, and the scariest thing I've ever done is like clicking that button. But I've gotten tired of waiting. So now if I'm anxious about something, I got to push through it. Because guess what? Now it's done.
Yeah.
I can go be anxious about something else.
Yeah. Half the time, your anxiety takes more energy than doing the thing that you're afraid to do. And if you just do it, it's 10 times not as bad.
Exactly. And you know what? And if it is, then you'll learn, but you've got more time to put towards other stuff now instead of just lingering on it.
As a somewhat anxious person myself, I often find that the quicker I go, the less anxious I get.
Mm-hmm.
And this is also my philosophy on carnival rides. I will ride any roller coaster that you want to ride because it will be over soon.
Yeah.
But the slow one that's supposed to be the scenic view over top of the carnival
That's the one I hate. Mm-hmm. Like in Disney World, the one that, you know, you take instead of the monorail or whatever, you take the little sky ride over.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I am the daughter of a math teacher and I can calculate like height versus weight versus velocity and drop. And I don't want to be looking at my other seatmates and going, okay, I weigh this much and you probably weigh this much and yeah. you weigh this much. And if it falls right now at the rate that we're going and there's about 10 people down there.
And it gives you all that time in the world to work all of that out.
Yeah. So I'm like, don't make me go on that. Just put me on Space Mountain. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
So congratulations for you. And yes, you definitely give me FOMO. I'm always feeling like I'm missing out on good food at your house.
Well, the good thing is now with, Casual Confections, the hard thing is, you know, I do offer stuff up, you know, hey, I've got free stuff, but you know, you have to cross town to get to it. You know, how much are you going to cross town for a free slice of cake? Well, maybe I'll do it today. Doesn't always happen. But now I am baking in a commercial kitchen. I'm renting space out from Baked Well, which is a bakery in Matthews. The owner, Elle Machen, is really awesome. And the two of us connected pretty quickly. And so when the bakery's closed, I get to go in when I need to. And so I'm baking, and I'm officially all legit, all good. Oh. Officially licensed in NC. But yeah, so now I can bake, I can sell, I can ship. And so now you don't have to have FOMO because you can just be like, yeah, I can order some of this stuff.
Oh no, I've been on your site. Yeah. Trust me. If it wasn't for trying to keep my blood sugar calm before my surgery, I would be all over that.
Fortunately, we're working on the keto-friendly adaptations.
Well, and that's why I was excited you brought that. Speaking of which, you brought us a keto snickerdoodle.
Yes. Right? So, not just any snickerdoodle, a chai spice keto-friendly snickerdoodle. Yes.
So was this a recipe you originally found, or is this one that you manipulated modified? Or both?
This is one. It's one of the first recipes I tried was a chai snickerdoodle cookie. So I took my tweak on that recipe and tweaked it further. Instead of using all-purpose flour, I used almond flour. It was nearly a 1-to-1 ratio. I tweaked it a little bit because I had a little more egg than I probably should have. But I also swapped out the sugar for monk fruit sugar, which is my favorite sugar substitute. You still get a sweetness, mm-hmm. a really good sweetness, mm-hmm. but you don't have to put a ton of it in either.
Yeah. Monk fruit
don't
is
put too
definitely,
much. Yeah.
We use that because he likes it in his coffee.
Yes.
So
their maple syrup, highly recommended. Anyone who's out on keto, if you're looking for a sweetener that doesn't have that weird aftertaste, check out monk fruit stuff. Especially because it's a 1-to-1. You don't have to worry about doing math. If you know, like you are putting it in your coffee, you usually do two spoons. You're good.
Yeah. A little less.
Yeah.
You may tweak it to taste. And here's my insider tip. If you want to try something that's keto or paleo or just a little off the regular rails, the best place to find it, to try it the first time to see if it's what you want, is like TJ Maxx and Marshall's and Home Goods. Nice. Their gourmet aisle. Like if you want to try avocado olive oil instead of regular olive oil or monk fruit or any of that stuff, I've always gone and had good luck in their gourmet aisle. You can usually find a bottle of whatever you're looking for there.
Nice.
And then once you know what you like, then you can go and try it.
Spend the money.
So
this is the first keto adaptation, and also the lemon blueberry pound cake here today is also, it's gluten-free. And so here I just swapped out the all-purpose flour again with the King Arthur cup for cup gluten-free flour. And so it has everything you need. So you don't have to buy like 6 different flours and, you know, any kind of...
And mix them all together, which is what you used to have
to
do.
And get xanthan gum and all this other stuff. You just get one package. It worked perfect as a 1-to-1 ratio. The consistency is fantastic. It baked up just fine. It's a gluten-free cake, but you can't really tell the difference between the gluten-free cake and the regular cake.
I couldn't.
I didn't realize that King Arthur made a gluten-free substitute.
They do. Actually, King Arthur is a really good place to go for a lot of variety, not just for recipes, but also for ingredients, gluten-free and stuff like that.
That was when I baked bread, they were my favorite flour to actually bake bread with.
Yes.
Because I found most of the Pillsbury flour just didn't quite get the right feel.
Yeah, the texture.
Yeah, the texture was kind of off. King Arthur always was my favorite flour, so...
Yeah, so if you're looking for alternative flowers, they're a good place to start. They are one of the higher recommended brands.
Yeah, and this snickerdoodle is definitely good. You can taste a little of the almondy.
Yeah.
And as is the case sometimes with almond flowers or other flowers, it has a little more of a crispy texture, which I like. So,
well, snickerdoodles are supposed to be crisp anyway, so kind of.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't mind that. I actually like the slight almond flavor, but I like almond flour.
Yes.
And I substitute almond milk for regular milk in most of my everyday life stuff. Excuse me, my voice is going.
It's the food.
Yeah, I think it is. the slight almond flavor actually added to that for me. So I like that a lot.
Also, we get like plus 12 points for charisma because we're not chewing on the mic because it's really hard. Starnes Lord and I still have half a piece of cake of each in front of us. And I've seen him reach for it and back away three times.
I didn't even get a snickerdoodle. I mean, look,
we passed it around. You got one and ate one.
It was great. And part of it, and then it had a little bit of moisture in there, which I liked. And then the rest of it I dunked in my coffee.
No, that's a perfect.
Little biscotti thing, and that was sensational. So
excellent.
Yeah, so
highly recommend.
What I was going to say is this has got the crisp of a snickerdoodle, and sometimes when you get the gluten-free ones, because commercially made gluten-free products can tend to be very dry.
Yes.
They will go the opposite way and add in extra fat, which you don't need, or extra butter, or they'll do soft bake. They won't cook it all the way. So it was a nice change.
Yes. Excellent. Yeah.
Because I was thinking, when's the last time I had a snickerdoodle? And it was probably bought at TJ Maxx, some gluten-free snickerdoodles. And they're not bad, but they're not a snickerdoodle. They're a great cookie that that company makes. I can't remember the name of them. But it's not what I would think of as a snickerdoodle.
And I have to say, the cake did not taste gluten-free at all. Because I know, particularly with cakes, it is difficult to get them to taste like a cake. When they're gluten-free, have the consistency of a cake, I should say. Mm-hmm. You can get them to taste sweet because you can just add sugar.
Right.
but it's hard to get that cake-like consistency gluten-free. So bravo, that was actually really good. And you can't tell it's gluten-free.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to tell somebody. Like if you didn't tell somebody it was gluten-free and you just let them, they would not notice.
They would not notice.
My life in gluten-free ended about 6 years ago, but there was a time when my doctor thought maybe that was what was wrong, and so we tried it, and it definitely helped with the situation I always have. But now I've been on so many medications, I truly think that my chemistry has changed. And so things that bother me don't bother me anymore, and things that used to never bother me now bother me. So it's a whole different world. You gluten-free cooking is no joke. You have to like pay attention. Like the only way to get good gluten-free brownies was this kind that you would put it on the counter, let it cool for an hour, then put it in the freezer for an hour, and then cut it, because otherwise it just was a big old fat mess. Just forget it. I was like, if I have to wait 3 hours for a brownie, we have problems, people.
It better be a real special brownie.
Yeah. It's like, then I have no idea what you're talking about. Listen, just for the record, because I'd love to joke about it, but I take so many drugs on purpose that I don't take any accidental drugs. Are just not that recreational for me. So let me just make the record clear, just because my mother may listen someday. Although I'm sorry for all the swear words, Mom. So
she stopped listening a long time ago. She started listening.
I think it was like 2 minutes into this podcast. It's a challenge, and so I'm happy that like now King Arthur has a gluten-free flour, because it certainly did years ago. And then everybody's flour, it was give or take, and it was a constant thing. Like you said, it's mostly a 1-to-1 ratio. And
lots
it's always
of trial and error.
Yes. Yeah. And then the other thing that's a misnomer is a lot of people that go gluten-free, if you don't have like celiacs or a gluten intolerance, you're denying yourself part of that gluten. So you do have to be careful in your gluten-free cooking. Because you could make yourself sick if you're not too careful about that. But also, gluten-free doesn't mean healthy all the time. No. It just means there's no gluten in it. There's a big difference. Keto, healthy. Mm-hmm. Paleo, healthy, or at least following those diet,
not
those
just
meal plan. In, yeah, construction.
I will say though, when I was cooking for both of us and you were gluten free, I just started eating like that and I lost weight.
Yeah. And now you're and finding it a little
bit. The pizza was so horrible that they made. No, there was no good pizza back then.
That was
then,
before they discovered the
cauliflower.
Cauliflower.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderness of cauliflower. Oh.
The best pizza was Donato's, but they were just far enough away from my house, they didn't deliver. So, yeah. And that was because they had more of like a rice crispy kind of. It was almost like eating a cheddar crisp rather than a actual crust. But yeah. Yeah, but now, I mean, now there's a lot more, and definitely, but it is a challenge, so
and
it's always good.
You don't do just gluten-free and keto. You
no,
do.
Not at all. Not at all. I can tell you as somebody who has drooled on my computer.
Yes, yeah, just adapting for keto and gluten-free. I'm just diving into that more recently now. Because I'm more comfortable with some of my recipes and because I know it's a market out there. Less so that it's a market, because I don't want to say it that way. More of, I know a lot of people are looking for tasty goods.
Yes. Yeah, it's hard to find.
Right, exactly. And a lot of people try at home, you know, trial and error and share recipes, and it's still trial and error. And it is nice that it's a more common thing now. You know, King Arthur has their stuff. Baked Well in Matthews is gluten. Not all her stuff's gluten free, but she is a very good place to go for gluten free desserts. You want a decorated cake for your party? You want it, you know, sculpted or something gluten free? Go talk to Elle because she'll help you out. She herself is gluten free, so she knows how it goes.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, it's very common now, and it's great because, you know, like you said, you can still enjoy eating. You're not stuck with all this boring stuff anymore. It's still a challenge, but now at least it's easier to find something that tastes good and kind of satisfies that craving.
Yeah, the best advice I got when I was trying to do gluten-free was, don't concentrate on what you can't have. Concentrate on what you can have. Mm-hmm. And don't try to replace. Try, you know, like if you're trying to find a gluten-free pizza and that's what you have in your head, it's not going to work. If you're trying a Italian dish that's gluten-free that happens to be in the shape of a circle that looks a little like a pizza, your expectations are different. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, you're not going to always find a one. I mean, like this cake is amazing. You're not always in all gluten-free things going to find a one-to-one ratio replacement. Mm-hmm. So, you know, focus on steak, focus on potatoes, things that are naturally gluten-free. And then, you know, definitely do the research, talk to people online, find out what works, get recommendations, and, you know, sometimes leave it to the experts because mm-hmm. you're going to find yourself more frustrated. One of our sponsors for a number of years was Polka Dot Bake Shop, unfortunately.
Oh, I loved Polka Dot.
They went out of business a couple of years ago where they closed their doors to try something else. I mean, they had been successful. I think they just got tired of it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not easy doing it 24/7 sometimes if you don't have the help and support. But they're gluten-free stuff. Carol can attest to that because it was right next to the sushi place we used to go to when we used to work in the same building. And I would be like, oh, it's gluten-free Thursday. Let's walk next door. And I would buy my little stash of foods and like try to peter them out. They always had at least one gluten-free thing a day.
Yeah.
But some days they would do like the key lime pies and stuff like that. And I was all about that. So I'll give you any of those, you know, challenges to try to make those because those were good.
So. Yeah. Pies in themselves are still a challenge for me. So those will probably be a little while before I try the keto take on them.
My mom tells this story about being late to dinner with her mother-in-law. And it was because she had said she would bring a pie. And she had tried all day to make a pie. And just showed up in tears without a pie. And just was like, I'm so sorry. But, you know, we couldn't be any later. And my grandmother spent the night with my mom teaching her how to make pie dough. Because she was just like, I read the recipe and it's tricky. It's not as easy always as people think. Like you said, the Swiss roll worked for you, but it's not Carol's favorite thing to do.
No,
it's just like certain things click in certain people's heads, right?
Yep.
So
yeah, my big problem with pies is I keep forgetting to build my walls.
Oh,
or learning to drape the pie dough to make sure it's even. It's just everything else I get, it's just the crust, just the logistics of the crust is still something I just need to practice. I mean, I never made a lot of pie, so it's still very new for me. But yeah, I mean, everyone's got their thing.
Yeah, I'm very good at making Mrs. Smith pies.
Nice. Good start.
Just take them out, slide them in. I can do that like nobody's business, you know, but yeah, I just need to find a glass pie plate that's the same size
so that I can just do the switcheroo. Out of this little aluminum thing.
The key to that is doing it while it's still frozen.
Yes.
For any of our semi-homemade people out there. So,
well, since you're still working on it and perfecting the pie game, can I please ask, implore you to get on the pumpkin pie train there so that by the time Thanksgiving comes around, we're perfection.
Yes. Yes, I can definitely do that.
Perfect.
Yep. I've got French silk and coconut cream pie under my belt, so I think pumpkin will be perfect for my next one.
That is Matt's go-to. Or it was until the Thanksgiving we had 27 pumpkin pies.
The ham pumpkin pie combo.
Oh, no.
You've heard this story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. It's like, no more ham. No more
ham nachos.
Pie. In truth, I had told him what size to get, but he didn't hear me. So it was just a brief miscommunication error amongst us, and he ordered.
Might not have been said out loud. Yeah.
Might not have been heard internally.
I knew I was in trouble when honey baked ham, and everybody else was just getting their hams, and the guy was like, "Oh, I got to go in the back to get that one." And it was like boom, and I was like, "Oh, is that for an army?" What this is? It was for an army. Yes.
Yeah. he got the ratio slightly off. He thought it was a pound per person instead of like a half a pound per person. Plus, we had somebody else bringing
a turkey.
The turkey.
Oh no!
So
we had like 20 plus people that year, but yeah.
Yeah, but we also have certain people, not looking at anybody in specific, Tiffany, who will bring their sides for our Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they will make it for an army. And Tiffany, you know I love you, right? With all of my heart. But she's not always the first person at Thanksgiving. She's not always late. She's not always.
I was late once.
And I think that was the year that you brought.
But it was the year you brought potatoes.
And yeah.
Like I bring potatoes like every year. But
and like everybody had already sat down.
Yeah, so that was like, that one year. Yeah.
Yeah. So then, you know, because when you bring a dessert, it's fine because it's like nobody's ready for dessert yet. But I think that year it was you just made this huge vat of potatoes, which we also love. But it was like everybody had kind of eaten.
Oh, they're
and
just like, no
so,
more.
And then Tiffany's like, well, I just live by myself, so you all keep it. And she ran out the door. This
I
is
do
what
that
she does
every
time.
Occasion.
It's what you do.
I bring it in a styrofoam thing, so I don't need the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Out. Yeah. Which can I, first of all, I appreciate that you bring a styrofoam thing, because I will confess to you, I still have two things from Thanksgiving that people have not come to pick up that are not throwawayable, and I think they've merged with our stuff somewhere. But with the upcoming surgery, I have someone who had been talking about setting up a casserole like sign up sheet, and I was like, my mom was like, please tell them that there's only three of us. Please tell them to bring like an 8x8 casserole. Like they could bring two, like if they make enough for a regular and make it in two. But it's like that will be one Matt portion and then one mom portion and one Joey portion. Because we just, you know, that's the worst part is you hate to throw away good food.
I feel bad when I call 311 for a special pickup, bulk pickup. Because we can't finish them.
But again, this is not about me. It's about you. Although people listening to this podcast will think that I think it's about me. So
it is. Oh, no.
Let's be honest. So casual confection. So first of all, butterbeer fudge. I feel like you need to bring that to the Muggles Market. So we need to talk afterwards.
Yes.
Because you need to have a table at the Muggles Market and we'll figure it out.
We'll talk about that. Yes.
We'll figure it out. And then because I already feel like that would sell out. If the butterbeer popcorn, which may or may not be there this year, is any indication, those people literally had to go back to their shop four times to refill the butterbeer popcorn. So I kind of feel like butterbeer fudge would be similar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But what else do you make? So you make the cookies, you make the cakes. Just list off some of the stuff that you sell. And then we definitely need to hear about some of the failures.
Because, oh, yeah. Well, that's the fun thing about the blog. You know, I don't just put up, you know, oh, this was a success. I capture everything. What did I do wrong? Where was I dumb? You know, where did the recipe fail? Where I didn't fail? And so the reason I do that, first, it was just for transparency. You know, I was just sharing with my friends. But then as I continued, I wanted to keep doing it because I kept hearing from people that they were going to start baking again because they were reading what I was doing. And I hadn't realized how many people had stopped baking, you know, as they got older, as they got families, because they didn't think they had the time or they got intimidated by a piece of equipment. You know, everyone have a stand mixer when nobody knows how to use a stand mixer or it's too big of machinery.
I didn't use mine for a year.
Yeah. So conveniently, that's another service I provide. I especially highlight the stand mixers because they're intimidating. But if there's something like a stand mixer and you want to get comfortable using it, you can hire me. I can come to your house and we can try a simple recipe so that I can show you how it works.
I just want you to come to the house and cook.
I can do that too.
Yeah. Just come in my house and cook stuff.
I can do that too.
Because I buy all the stuff and then I'm like, yeah, I'm going to sit here on the couch and put my feet up.
Well, one thing that you forget sometimes is it doesn't have to take a long time to put a recipe together. Most of the recipes I have up on Casual Confections took less than 2 hours from gathering ingredients to cleaning up. And most of that was because I have a young kid, a young son. So it was like, oh God, I have like an hour between him going to sleep and my going to sleep. So I'm going to bake, you know, let's throw a batch of cookies together.
Yeah. And let's be clear. His name is Baby Dictator.
Yes. All hail Baby Dictator. Hashtag all hail Baby
my
Dictator.
My favorite hashtag, by the way. And like, I love that I read CBD and I just read right through it. I'm like,
There are family members, like when they meet him in person, they're like, oh yeah, this is Connor. And he goes, no, that's BD.
Yeah.
Like, we even tried updating the name when he grew out of the baby stage. It's like, no, it's Baby Dictator and it's going to stick until he gets really mad at us. And
Well, I still refer to Starnslord on my blog as Shorty Hulk. So I just put SH and people are like, is that supposed to be Super Husband? And I'm like, well,
I was trying to figure that out the other day when I read your thing. I was like,
yeah, Shorty Hulk on my blog is because when we first started talking, he tried to tell me he was 5'2". And then there was a long pause in our conversation because I'm 5'10". And I was like, not that I wouldn't date somebody who was short, but
she wouldn't date somebody who was short.
But my roommate at the time was 5'4", so I was trying to estimate, like, because you have to plan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Doug is not extremely tall. He's not short. But
we're about
not
the same height, actually. Right. It works out well.
And so did, like, your first couple dates, did you think about the flats versus the heels?
No, you know what's really funny? We were friends for a long time before we actually jumped into dating.
Oh, okay. Well,
so,
that works.
So, then. Yeah. So, we actually had our first date, like, after we've known each other for, like, 2.5 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But we're all about comfort and function over style. So.
Yeah. Which is good. Which
there
is
were
good.
Times where we'd go out to events, and yes, the flats would come out instead of heels, because then I'd be, like, 2 inches higher than he was, and I'd be uncomfortable. So, you know what? Not going to do it.
Yeah. My first husband was 5'7", so definitely it was already, like, if we sat, we were the same height because I was short waisted. But if we stood up, like, so then definitely the heels becomes a thought process. But anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But, so the different services that come up. You can come to your house. I can help show you how to bake stuff from scratch. I actually just had a client recently. They booked both a baking class and a decorating party. And so, you know, if you book two together, usually I'll do a discount. And so within the span of 2 hours, easy, I taught a group of 5 or 6 people how to make sugar cookies. Most had experience baking. Mm. One was did not have as much experience. So they, of course, put her front and center. But she got really comfortable with the process. You know, you need to learn about how you measure out flour, and you've got to learn the sequence of ingredients. And we messed up a few times. You know, I've done this recipe front and back 9 times. I can do it from memory. But still, it happens. You misread the recipe. You skip over ingredients. So we got to troubleshoot. And it's kind of where the we keep it messy, my tagline comes from, is you see all these Instagram things, these perfect bakes, these perfect things. And you see people when their videos and their counters are so clean. They didn't spill a damn thing. And the beaters are keeping everything in the bowl. No. Baking should be messy. Get your hands dirty. That flour is going to go flying everywhere. I don't care how professional you are, unless you have the time to really take it slow and have the, you know, over good sized equipment, you're going to have a mess. You just need to accept that. And so between recognizing that you don't have to have perfection, which is why I post all of my stuff, you know, in process and when done, it's not going to be perfect. It's not the point. Is it going to taste good? Well, that's the point. Yeah. You did it and you want it to taste good. And so by the end of this class, everyone felt so much more comfortable with some of the different techniques, and there wasn't anything special. This was a really basic sugar cookie recipe. It was a no spread, no fridge, so we were able to go through really quickly, because a lot of people who don't know, sugar cookie dough usually needs to go in the fridge for at least an hour to kind of set. But this was no bake, no fridge, so we were able to do it. It takes about an hour, especially because you're cutting out shapes. That's what takes the longest. Really easy to handle. And then put them in the oven, came out, got them making some icing. They were able to decorate their cookies. And once they were done with the first round, I just said, all right, bye, guys. And they were
set.
Go and do the rest. So, yeah. So that was 2 hours on a weekend for a family and some friends. And, you know, their theme was some Ramadan symbols, which was a lot of fun. So we did some crescent moons and lantern and star. And then they got really crazy. People were making some like flower petals, like they were building monster sugar cookies. It was a lot of fun. But you get to see how different people get into it. You know, once you take that fear away of not knowing what to do or how to do it, and then they just let themselves loose. And so, you know, somebody who never touched their mixer, you know, it could just be a hand mixer, never touched it because I don't bake. And all of a sudden they've used it. They've made the entire cookie from scratch. And now they're more comfortable with it. I mean, that's the whole point. You know, baking is fun. I have a former coworker and friend of mine who has 3 sons. And, you know, she's gone through a lot of job changes and life changes in recent years. But she's one of the first people who said, I'm going to start baking because of what you've been doing. Wow. And now her 3 sons, who are middle school age, are getting into it with her. So it's a thing they're doing together now.
Yeah, that's nice.
And that's huge. I mean, I can't tell you what that means to me, because all I was doing was, look, this is what I'm killing my time with. And, you know, it helped inspire her and do something really special for them. And I keep hearing that from some people. You know, baking is something people don't think about as a hobby or something they could just knock out in an evening, you know, and they just have.
Yeah.
I mean, you can control what's in your ingredients. You know, you don't have the preservatives. And, you know, so you can even break it up. I mean, if you want some chocolate chip cookies, you don't have to do it all in one night. Make the dough.
Well, and Tiffles, you did that party last year, the dinner party where you actually made the butter and all that kind of stuff, and that was fun to see. And you had people in the kitchen like helping with certain parts of it before we ate, so
yes.
She's like, did I
when exactly? But I what I will say, it hits home though, actually, what you were talking about, like how it's a messy process. And but I used to bake a lot. And I'm not going to say it was anything complicated or fancy or anything, but like I would just go, let me bring stuff in to people at work,
yeah,
or whatever. And, you know, no one's going to turn that stuff down.
Mm-mm.
And I just, you know, yeah, it was just kind of like, I want to smell it or whatever, and I'll have a little piece, and it was fun. But I am a perfectionist. And like as the years go, I actually become worse.
My
perfectionism. I know it's terrible. And so like I am that person that's like, this makes too much of a mess. Like I'm literally that, like, I don't want to cook because it makes my pots dirty. Like I don't have a dishwasher or anything.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get over that. I know it sounds so silly, but you've inspired me. I have to get back into it because I like things like that, because it is, I mean, obviously you're taking it to a level where you're being creative, but for me, someone that would just probably follow a recipe, it's very concise, I mean, you know, exacting, and I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, that's the other good thing. It can be whatever you want it to be.
Right.
If you want to, you know, bake by weights, by volume, do it. If you just want to kind of eyeball it, go for it. You know, you get to do whatever you want. Yeah, you're going to have cleanup afterwards, but the good thing is most things you're going to make, you can wipe flour off a counter pretty quickly.
True. Yep.
A lot of the silicone mats they make now are, you know, manageable sizes. You don't have to roll out the huge pie sheet every time and like try and clean that sucker. And, you know, a lot of it, you know, cleanup might only take 15 minutes. And, you know, if you're making your cookie dough one night, that might take you half hour tops.
Right.
Slam it in the fridge. And, or, you know what, better yet, instead of the fridge, scoop out your portions into a freezer bag.
Yep.
Put it in the freezer. And then guess what? You don't have to make a whole batch and eat it in the next few days. Take out 2 cookies on Friday, throw them in your toaster oven or your oven, and there you go. You got 2 cookies.
What a good idea.
They freeze 4 months, so a whole batch could last you a month. That helps you with portion sizes anytime you get a craving, or, you know, just do what I do and make a whole batch and eat them in 2 days.
Yep. Well, or just don't even make them into get into the oven. Just eat the cookie dough.
Oh, I have a cookie dough frosting for cakes. Oh, if you think cookie dough is good, cookie dough frosting is sinful.
And Starnslord is become quite a much of a cook and a chef a little bit more over the past couple years.
Oh, cooking, yes,
cooking. Yeah, he loves the silicone mats.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm a big fan, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I use far less parchment paper.
What I love is that... with my inability to stand as long as I can, that's the biggest challenge for me in cooking. I can sit down and do it. Like making a lasagna, I have him do all the standing and the browning of the sausage and whatever. And then I just do the layering. But he started taking on, like when we first started dating, I would be like, oh, here's breakfast. He's like, how did you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. My mom showed me. And then, you know, I learned. And it's just like, you throw this in and you throw that in. And he's like, how do you do the French toast? And I'm like, I don't know. I felt like it needed ginger today. So I threw some ginger in and stuff like that. But now I'll hear videos on his phone out in the kitchen. And then he comes in and he's like, he like surpassed me in the eggs on toast area. I'm just like, now I can't even make them for myself. You have to make them every time. But my uncle, when he retired, got really into baking. Mm. He's an engineer though. So he's all about the weights and measures. And he loves, because cooking is a lot more
loosey-goosey,
forgiving.
Yeah.
And baking, you can be messy about it. But you have to kind of know certain things kind of instinctively in your head if you're going to do it that way. So like you have to get that. You don't have to be born with it, but you have to get that comfortableness.
You get that experience. Like how to identify when your dough is getting too wet. And, you know, let's add some flour to it. Know to add some flour to it. Or know to go to Google to find out what you should add to it.
Right. And it's got to be that comfort level. But with him, he's like, he was doing that when I went up for my pre-surgery, because, you know, nothing's better for a surgery than having a surgery to find out if you need surgery. But anyway, when I was trying to recover in the chair, he was doing like this three-layer Rice Krispie thing, but it was like much more complicated. And it was like a layer of Nutella and then a layer of another chocolate on top and then kind of like the rice kind of stuff. I brought some home. You get to eat one and then I ate the rest. But my mom and I. But he was all about it because it was the, oh, I got to wait an hour. I got to do that. He was into that. But there are other ways to do it. And it's like, yeah, you could kind of like put this in the fridge or the freezer and it would speed up the process, and or you could do the two layers or mix them or whatever. But he's all about the baking. And my aunt was like, please take all this stuff home because it's just the two of them. And she's like, he bakes every day. So
once you get bitten by the baking bug, it's hard to sit on your hands. You look for any excuse.
I really truly feel like we need to do like a British baking challenge sometime. Simplified, but like
people always do British Bake Off parties.
I've always wanted to
chopped parties.
I've always wanted to attempt the technical challenges from the British Bake Off, like take an entire season and try and do the technical challenges.
Yes,
because those are the ones that you actually can find recipes for. Because
I feel like we have like a video cast, and it doesn't have to be of your face, Carol, because I know how you are about film.
Well, no, I was thinking of doing a Twitch channel where I do like hour and a half cooking, and it would show the actual like tasty camera rather than me.
But, you know, but that would be fun because it could be like you and Crystal and like a third person, maybe a guest or somebody, and you guys all get the same technical challenge and you all try and you talk about what worked and what didn't work. Like you compare each other's.
Yeah. That would be fun. I've always just wanted to try the technical challenges on that show because it's like, okay, this is obviously a well-known recipe. It's, you know, it's a Victorian jam cake. How can you not?
We always make those.
I want to do the ones like the savory pie that's in that special metal.
Oh, the
oval.
The one where they did the hand-raised pies.
Yes.
Because that's usually they do hand-raised crust for savory pies.
Yes. The steam crust.
Yeah. They did the one where it was half savory, half fruit. Maybe it's like a full meal in one. I'm like, oh, I want to try that one.
Where they put the kind of the thick wall in between so the juices don't spread before anybody gets disgusted. So it was really good. No, I want to be the person sitting there and taste testing for you. I'll do the running commentary. I'll come up with the snide, sarcastic, you know, comedy bits to kind of keep things going.
And you, you can rate our swear words.
Yes. Go around with a swear jar.
We just need a Paul Hollywood to come around and give us handshakes.
Yes.
Starnes Lord has blue eyes.
Not like Paul. I was so dreamy. So
dreamy. I was hoping for the actual Paul Hollywood.
I don't know. He doesn't like that. Those sweet American pies. I don't know.
No, he doesn't. He's very, very, very against down it. On American pies.
And that's something like my aunt is 100% from Puerto Rico. Thank you. And they are not about the sweet fruit pies.
Yeah.
They're like...
Well, America is very sweet.
Yes.
And I say that because, you know, you think a lot of countries are like, oh, sweet. I'm like, no, we are like super sweet compared to a lot of other countries. So, you know, I watched the British Bake Off and, you know, a lot of them is savory recipes. And it's just like, I forget sometimes how sweet dominant we are as a culture versus other countries who are, or in other cultures who are savory. And it's just, it's really interesting. We forget how much sugar and how sweet we are.
Yeah, you have to like retrain yourself. I mean, it's sad when like something like a strawberry doesn't taste sweet to you because you're used to all of the extra sugar.
Strawberry candy.
Yes. The artificial strawberry. Yeah.
Or, you know, even macerating the sugar in there and stuff like that. You're just so used to it. You're like, you have to kind of wean yourself off. But so if somebody wants to find your blog and find your business, how do they do that? Where are the places?
Well, you can find me at casualconfections.com. That's where the blog is. I also have a menu section. So if you want to order or get a quote for any baked goods, that's a good place to start. I have a bulleted list that you can just like check off. Hey, I want some fudge. And you can send me that form. And we can talk about what type of fudge, what flavor, what do you want add-ins, and I'll give you a quote. Everything's customized, so I don't really have flat rates because the flavors, the add-ins, how you want stuff done, how much of it you want. Like, if you want 4.5 pounds of fudge, that's easy to do. If you want only a pound of fudge, I can do that too. So I also have a services page, so that's more of the classes, the parties, all kinds of different baking relating services. If you're not sure if it's something that I can offer, ask, email me. My phone number is on Facebook and on the website. If you want to go on Facebook, it's at Casual Confections. You get more updates on Facebook than you do on the website. The website has my official postings, which is when I have time to sit down and go, okay, here's the recipe, here's where I got it from. Kudos to these companies for their stuff for that they that I used, and kudos to this person whose recipe I borrowed and tried out, and here's what I did wrong, here's what I did right, and here's how it came out, and here's what I might do for next time. Facebook has a little more of the, hey, I'm working on this right now kind of tease.
Yeah.
And you get some of the stories of stuff that's going on. Like I have a few stories up right now from these bakes. And Instagram is where you will get even more access, because that's when I'm really giddy about something. And I'm like, look what I'm making, or I'll tease some ingredients or something. So if you really want to see what I'm up to, Instagram's a good place to start. Facebook is a good place if you just want to kind of keep up on what's going on, what offerings, some pictures of stuff that's going on. And the website, if you just want to, you know, sign up to follow the blog, that's a good place to start too. But yeah, I mean, both services and menu items, I'm always up for discussing any options. So, you know, if you're like, hey, I wonder if she'd do this, email me, call me, message me, comment on my Facebook page. I'll get back to you. We'll talk something out. I work all budgets. I work on all, you know, party sizes. You know, it can be an individual thing. You just want to learn something yourself, or, you know, you got a kid's party and you got to entertain 12 kids and you don't want to deal with it. Well, I bring everything. If you want them to decorate cupcakes, I will bring icing bags. I'll bring cupcakes. I bring disposable aprons and tablecloths. And they get to decorate and do whatever. And then I will clean everything up so you guys can just keep going about your business with the party. And you get me on site for a few hours from start to finish. And easy peasy.
There you go.
Matt's birthday's in October.
I've got some great theme ideas.
There we go. We'll mark that down.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Now, what I really need you to do, though, is like you used to do those, you know, mail bakes. You just need to have that. Like, you can have all your customizable stuff, and I appreciate that, but I can't make those many decisions. I just need you to say, and the specialty box of the month is this, and if you have to order by this date, and I will send it to you.
So I should tell you I'm troubleshooting that right now.
Yes.
We will be having subscription boxes. Yes. And what Joey's talking about, if you go on my website or Facebook page, you'll see something called a cookie care package. And what that started out as was me making way too many cookies in the holidays, because why not?
Because you can.
And just not having enough people around to eat them. So at first I would say, whoever wants them, I will ship them to you. Well, 1 year I got over 12 people who were like, yeah, we want cookies. And some of the recipes failed. And so everyone got like 2 Rice Krispie treats and 2 cookies. And I was like, sorry, guys. So I've been limiting it as I've been experimenting. I do them randomly throughout the year. Lately, it's been, you know, only 3, you know, 3 boxes will go out or 6 boxes will go out. And I'll usually have, it's mostly on my personal page right now. But once I get the subscription box going on Casual Confections, you'll be able just to sign up for a monthly box, or if you want to commit to a several month or a year. I will have different themes. I will actually have an experiment box. So it won't really have a theme. It'll just be like, here's some recipes I tried. Give me some feedback.
Well, yeah, because that also helps too. Because I know, especially when I was going through the gluten-free phase, I found a lot of on-site web places like Paleo Bakehouse and Mrs. Katz and stuff like that. And ordering a sample from them, then I knew what to order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sample boxes will be a thing too outside of subscription boxes. Yeah,
it's just a huge help, because it's like totally obsessed with the butterbeer fudge now, but then you're like, oh, I can make any flavor you want. I'm like, oh, that's like way too many choices. I need everything broken down to 2 choices. Like, where do you want to go to dinner? Do we want to go out or stay in? That's choice number 1. You know, do we want hot or cold? That's choice number 2. You know, it's like, as long as it's in 2 choices, I can make decisions. But when you say, here is my 27-page menu, and it's not you, but like some of those diners that you go to Dragon King Con or something like that, some of those places have like 27 pages, and you're like, I can't decide. And I love Metro Diner, because you go in and it's like, this is our Dragon Con menu. It's like 2 sides. This is what you can order. And it's like, I can work with that.
So. Yeah, and I know it's a problem that I have right now, because I had to narrow down my order menu, my request form. And so I was like, well, what do I do? Do I put down the different types of fudge? What varieties do I put down? I said, let's just put fudge.
Yeah, start there.
Let's talk from there, because you've got milk, dark, white. You've got the nuts you can mix in. You've got my favorite that, you know, I had stuff and I love Andes mints. And so I threw it in some fudge over the holidays. And now I can't resist Andes mint fudge. So we have that as an option as well.
Okay, I know one. See, it's just like the mind boggles.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, if I have choices, and then it's, I worked for a cafe for a number of years, and it was called A La Carte, and that was literally it. It was almost like a Subway, except for it was more organic and all natural local farms and stuff like that. But literally, we had 27 things, and you just kind of came in and told us what you wanted, and people would get overwhelmed. But I'd be like, okay, what protein do you want to start with? And then like those of us behind the counter started, and it was like, okay, let me make you the Joey version of this. So let me make you like the Laura version of this or whatever, based on the person, because like, they don't know. It's like, why would I want mandarin oranges on a sandwich? Or why would I want, you know, cranberry raisins on a sandwich or whatever? It's like, well, let me mix it. If you mix it with this, so you mix it with that. And then people were like, yeah, this is amazing. So,
yeah. And so for people who are intimidated, who have too many choices,
right?
Intimidated,
yeah.
Who might be frozen by all of the options, again, if you contact me, I will totally help talk you through stuff. You know, we'll find out what you're in the mood for now, or what you want to try right now. And if it's a mix of things, you know, we can work that out too. We can, you know, I can make large portions, I can make small portions. So, if you end up wanting just a sample box, I can do that too. So, that's the hard part.
So now I want the freezer sugar cookies, so I can just make 2 at a time. Mm-hmm. And I want the Indie Mints fudge. You got my order.
No, yep, writing it down now. I'll send you the invoice.
Yeah. So if you've heard some stuff that you want to order, definitely go to casualconfections.com. I will be sweet talking her after this podcast to make sure she's also at the Muggles Market, but that's in November. It's way too far away. So,
but if you'd like to hit me up with some requests to have at the table, I am all ears, because we have plenty of time to troubleshoot some ideas.
Yeah So definitely come and check that out. Any final questions, thoughts?
No, I think no,
comments.
Yeah, I think
thank you.
How are you at a strawberry shortcake?
I haven't done them too often, but I am always game.
See? Okay, well, you'll be hearing from me.
There you go.
Tiffany, when's your birthday again?
October.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep. So we'll hit that up. And of course, Carol's is coming up shortly.
Yes.
Who cares?
I can also do variations on things.
Why is it when Tiffles talks, it's always negative towards Carol? We need to analyze this more.
It's our love for each other. Sure. This is the way I show it.
Yeah. Okay. So she's like, no, don't take the focus off of me, my birthday. Don't talk about Carol's birthday. Yeah. So casualconfections.com. The wonderful thing is, even though Crystal likes to make it messy, she doesn't make her website messy. There's no funny spellings or anything like that. Joey doesn't have to do the normal write it out kind of thing for you. Casual Confections, just figure it out, type it in, it'll pop up in a bunch of places. Check out her blog for sure. Go back and look and see what she did last year for Geek Gala, and then we'll, you know, let you know what kind of stuff we're working on for this year's Geek Gala. But that was amazing, and we thank you so much for that. We depend so much on donations, and that was definitely a highlight of the buffet table last year.
That was a blast.
So we are all about that. But check it out, and make sure you follow her on Facebook, etc. And now, Stern's Lord, I'm finally going to let you eat the rest of that cake.
Thank you.
Drooling the whole podcast.
If you hear anything liquid on the podcast, we apologize.
Oh, dear.
That took a turn.
A little drool is all I'm saying.
We earned that explicit rating after all.
You've been listening to Guardians of the Geekery. Find us on the web at guardiansofthegeekery.com and everywhere fine podcasts are found. Support the Charlotte Geeks at patreon.com/charlottegeeks. Tune in next time for another exciting adventure on Guardians of the Geekery.